And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness. Sometimes I get a good feeling. The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Hello, good morning to you right around Australia. This is the House of Wellness beaming across the country into 2GB, 3AW in Melbourne, where you're melting for your heat wave continually. Brisbane's 4BC, 5AA in Adelaide and 6PR. Welcome one and all. It's Ed Phillips here, joined by my illustrious cohorts, Gerald Quigley, our favourite pharmacist. Hello, GQ.
Good morning, Ed, and good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Obermeter, who smells like a delightful little coconut oil flower. I can't describe. I know you're going to cook something. Give us something delicious from your Swish website soon. It can't possibly match the delightful coconutty thing you've
I'm coated in coconut oil just to, you know, help. And everyone keeps commenting on how I smell. I smell like a little bounty bar.
Exactly. Don't forget to wipe the seats when you've left, Sal.
It's delicious. So, look, I know you're going to do something fancy and delicious as well.
I am. Later on. Fancy, delicious, but still simple, because that's what it's about.
Alrighty.
And thank you for bringing it in on behalf of the boys.
We are going to throw open the phones on 131 873, wherever you're listening to us around the country. Gerald's here to answer any of your questions. Also, I want to focus on aspirin today, GQ.
Very briefly, Ed.
Mm-hmm. I think lots of people take it, and I wonder if it's more out of habit in some cases as well.
Yes. We will dissect that a little further.
And we should point out, too, February 1 it is, isn't it, that codeine becomes unavailable over the counter. That's not a relation of aspirin, but people always think of pain medication, don't they?
Yes. Well, it's a pain reliever, so therefore it's in the mix, Ed. But we might chat a little bit more about codeine options next week, because then the event will have happened. February the 1st will have happened, and then we can have a bit of a discussion. But I want to talk today just briefly aspirin as to why you might be taking it. Did you initiate starting the aspirin? Or if it was your doctor, that's okay. But if you initiated it, it's probably not the best thing.
And I think with Feb 1 then looming, people might gravitate towards the aspirin availability too, so we should check that out. 131 873 is our number. From all our callers today too, who seek guidance or pain relief or a solution to maybe some sort of inflammation, Gerald's here to help. He's a medical herbalist to boot as well. We'll select a favourite caller and you will score a $100 gift voucher to go and spend at Chemist Warehouse. That'll buy you a lot of sweet smelling coconut oil, Sally.
I tell you, it feels nice.
I bet it does. It smells nice.
You can cook with it, you can rub it on your skin, but not at the same time, folks.
Yes, don't do that. Don't do that. Also, looking forward to chatting with Dr. Sam Barbalat, who's going to join us shortly. He's the founder of ENT Technologies. They're, of course, the leaders in the ENT area, nasal health, allergies, allergy-related issues. We always tend to think of hay fever as being sort of a springtime affliction, don't we, Gerald? But it can push on certainly into summer as well, can't it?
Any time. I had an email just this morning from someone who's got cats. Grandchildren have cats, so when they go and visit grandpa, he goes into a dithering mess because of the allergies that crop up when they take the cats.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are medical solutions, there's herbal solutions, then there's operations, and I guess that's where Dr. Barbalat specialises as well. So we'll chat to him across the course of the morning. Nice to have your company with us. GQ, if people want to reach you as they do during the week with queries, what's the best website, of course?
Your best is houseofwellness.com.au, Ed. A little ask tab at the top. Those emails come through to me directly. So when I go to bed tonight, they are up to date completely, and we get prompt replies back. But we're happy to take calls this morning.
Okay, why don't we do that? Felicity's first through from Roeville in Victoria. First cab off the rank. Felicity, good morning.
Good morning, all.
How can we help you, Felicity?
Yes. Thank you. How can we help Felicity?
A few months ago, I asked about my leg cramp at night, and I took Super Bio Magnesium, and I feel better.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. So you're getting some sleep, Felicity.
Week,
That's great.
I got a osteoporosis through my scan.
Yes.
And I love walking, and every time I try to walk for half an hour, I go back because I'm tired, and my legs are weak.
Yes. Yes. Look, a couple of things, Felicity. It's very, you're in Rovell, so Victoria, so it's been very hot. Don't overdo it in the walking. Uh-huh. Maybe just shorter distances while it's so hot. Carry uh-huh. some water with you, and you can put, you can actually take a banana with you as well, which gives you some potassium, which will help. Uh-huh. And if it continues, Felicity, go and buy some coenzyme Q10, which your local pharmacist will have. And it is an energy producer. At cellular level, through no extra effort, you will have more energy. The osteoporosis, that's a bone-related issue. Hopefully your doctor's given you a number of options there. Lots of calcium-rich foods, and you can get a list of those from the pharmacist or from the doctor. Mm-hmm. Plenty of vitamin D, and you're out walking, which is great, because you're getting some vitamin D, and you will be up and about in no time.
Okay, I'm having a calcium injection tomorrow.
An injection?
Are you? Okay, well, I hope that goes smoothly. And don't forget to read all about those. Get some information from your pharmacist so you can make sure you're well prepared for that.
Good luck, Felicity. 131873 is our number. You're in the draw for our $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. Gerald, with temperatures again nudging close to the 40-degree mark in Melbourne, we've seen incredible temps in Adelaide as well. Humidity mm-hmm. thrown into boot. We might have our own sort of routine of some supplements we take. Is anything worthwhile at the end of a really hot weekend like this topping up with?
I think the big thing, and Sel will back this up as well, lots of liquid, lots of fluid.
Yes.
I know Sally's big on smoothies, and there's a way of getting nutrition without actually having to eat a lot.
Yes.
Any hydration in whatever way, shape or form. If you go to the beach, take water with you. Don't rely on a carbonated drink to satisfy your thirst. It won't. It needs to be water. There's lots of electrolyte replacement products around. Use them, but just be sensible. And certainly the southern states have copped it over the last couple of weeks, and we've got a lot more to come as well in the southern states of Australia.
And GQ, don't you think as well it's important that people drink, like don't wait until you're so thirsty that you're parched because you've almost gone too far. Just keep sipping as the day goes on.
Yes, and again, isn't it it's common sense that we don't wait until often. We don't wait till we're starving till we have something to eat. If we are a little bit hungry, our body will say, go and get something. But a lot of people, particularly older people, don't have that thirst sensation really highly figured, and they don't realise that they're dehydrating, and that can be potentially serious.
Yeah, good one. By the time you realise you're thirsty, it's probably a little bit too late, is what you're thinking.
It's too late.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Let's grab Peter, who's standing by in Brisbane this morning. 131873 is our number here at the House of Wellness. Morning, Peter.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Peter.
Just recently, I was in hospital, and there was three in the ward. One of them was a paraplegic, and he told us he took aloe vera to keep his heart pressure down. And we just said, no, that's not right. So he got his cure to bring some in, an ice cube of munched up aloe vera, which we took. And bearing in mind our heart machine's right beside us, and when they took our heart pressure was down.
Wow.
Aloe vera has actually got lots of, it's great as a skin moisturiser and a treatment for burns, Peter. It actually has mainly a laxative effect. So, sometimes it happens. Do you know, if you clear your mind and think about relaxation and lowering blood pressure, your blood pressure will drop.
Oh, yeah.
It is quite fascinating that even that's the principle of meditation. It's the principle of having a holiday, the principle of having sleep. Well, look, it might have been, but certainly there is no specific indication for aloe vera in lowering blood pressure or lowering heart rate. So if it happened, terrific. But I don't think you can necessarily start taking aloe vera and expect that to happen every time.
Interesting observation, though. Yeah.
Yes. Well done for your bit of advice on your cohort in the same ward. That's really good.
Do you know what? I always look forward to that biathlon competition in the Winter Olympics, and we'll see it soon enough next month when they ski and ski, then they have to lower their heart rate and stop and shoot five targets, bam, 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 instead of with their chests heaving from running. But they sort of learn to do that as well, as quick as you can.
And that's why a number of drugs are banned in the Olympics, because they settle your heart rate. So a person with atrial fibrillation takes what's called a beta blocker. They are illegal in competition.
Interesting.
Because they settle your heart rate.
All righty. Let's take a little break. We've got more of your calls coming up. Give us a buzz. 131873. Any questions for Gerald? We can help you out, of course, or maybe even debunk some myths on aloe vera. And next up, our special guest, ENT specialist Dr. Sam Barbalat, joining us here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness, right across Australia.
thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Nice to have your company. It's Ed Phillips here with you, joined by Sally Obermater, Gerald Quigley as well, with your calls coming up on 131873. Now, many people experience problems with their nasal passages or sinuses, and these problems may occur temporarily or, in fact, persist long-term. Well, Dr. Sam Barbalat is the founder of ENT Technologies, leaders in nasal health, allergies and also allergy-related issues, and we have Dr. Barbalat on the line with us. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Maybe we incorrectly associate hay fever only with springtime, but it does extend right around the year, doesn't it, the annoying condition?
It does indeed. And a lot of people think it just occurs at springtime, but in fact, over 50% of people who suffer from allergies or hay fever actually suffer from it all year round. And it's related to much more to the house dust mite and pet danders and that kind of thing which surround the individual all year round.
So, Doctor, let me ask you, for people who have this problem all year round, as we say, what are some important factors that they need to be, I guess, aware of?
The important things that they really need to take notice of are their quality of life issues. So, sleep disturbance, inability to concentrate, poor performance at work or school, irritability, all those kind of quality of life issues have been noted to deteriorate quite significantly in these patients. The other thing that they need to be aware of is the influence on their asthma. Is the blocked nose or the severity of the hay fever that they're experiencing aggravating their asthma? Because about 80% of people who have the what we call perennial rhinitis or hay fever throughout the year actually have asthma related disease as well.
Sam, it's Gerald here, and thanks for talking to us today. That reference for asthma and allergic rhinitis or hay fever, or really just runny nose, that's a fascinating link. Why are the two things differentiated? Why is there a pigeonhole in clinical medicine for asthma and a clinical hole that you put allergic rhinitis in? Will there ever be a link, do you think, that we can say, look, treating one's of no use unless we look at the other?
Absolutely, Gerald. I think the pigeonholing is a thing of the past and is related to really a lack of understanding of what is actually going on in the nose and going on in the lungs. And what people need to be aware of is the lining in the nose is pretty much exactly what's going on is the lining and is as the lining in the chest. So whatever goes on in the nose goes on in the lungs, and whatever goes on in the lungs goes on in the nose. And I think if people can bear that in mind, they will understand that the allergic rhinitis, the runny nose, the congested nose, is just part of a disease of the whole airway, and it needs to be taken seriously.
Doctor, what about extending that relationship further? We always talk about gut health here, especially on the House of Wellness. Does the nose carry bacteria? Is it similar to the gut in any way?
There is no question that there is a link between the gut bacteria or microbiome and health and wellness of the respiratory system, both the nose and lungs. There's no question there is a gut. There is a gut lung axis.
How interesting. Wow. So, Doc, my husband suffers from this all the time. He's always doing those saline solutions up his nose. Can you make your own, or do you always have to buy it over the counter?
Yeah, good question. One can make it on one's own. However, if the concentrations are not correct, then what will happen is it'll probably sting. And in fact, invariably it will sting. And once it starts to sting and becomes unpleasant, the patient stops doing it. And that's just the beginning of the downhill slope. So it's much, much better to use something that has been pre-prepared, has no preservatives in them, in the solutions, because already the nose is irritated. You don't want to irritate it more with more chemicals. So preservative-free, sterile, a solution is not going to sting, and it's so easy to use.
Perfect. Sam, a lot of people use steroid sprays. What are your thoughts there? And many use it for a while, use them, and then say, oh, look, I'm worried about the effects of the steroid, and anyway, they don't seem to make much difference.
Yeah.
What role would, say, preparing the nose by irrigating it first, would that help a steroid spray work better?
There's no question that there is ample good evidence in the literature to show that washing the nose achieves several things. The first thing is it gets rid of excess mucus. And when one thinks about it, if one puts a nasal steroid on top of mucus, then it just simply can't get down to the tissue where it needs to be to
sure.
work.
Yeah.
So the nose, because mucus is moved every 15 minutes, the window of opportunity for a steroid to work in the nose is quite narrow. So what you want to do is want to make sure that you put it on tissue that's clean and ready to accept the medication. It works a heck of a lot better. Mm. The other thing with washing is it gets rid of the perpetrators of the whole thing in the first place. So it helps to wash out pollen, helps to wash out house dust mite and animal dander. The thing with house dust mite, one has to be aware of, is that it can actually linger in the nasal tissues for up to 3 days. And so while it's there, it actually puts out an enzyme called a protease enzyme, which actually can damage the nasal tissue further and make the condition even worse. So washing is critical to get rid of these perpetrators, to get rid of excess mucus, and to prepare the tissue to accept the nasal steroid. And the reason they don't work, or patients say that they don't work, is they're not applied correctly often to the nasal tissue. And that's where the problem comes.
Doc, can I ask you, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, I don't suffer from any of these conditions, but I wonder, is it a bit like, for example, tongue scraping, that it's a good, healthy habit to do? So even if you don't have these conditions, would we benefit from doing a saline solution like this?
It's a good question, and certainly in some cultures, it is a daily accepted hygiene measure. And with all the pollution that surrounds us these days, with all the diesel fumes and the, you know, whatever's in the atmosphere, as well as the pollen and dust, it is a good idea to actually wash all of that stuff out of the nasal tissues, because it does have an effect. It does have an effect, and we're now looking at the long-term effects of pollution, or what we call small particle pollution, on the nasal tissue and in the lungs. And it's not inconsequential.
Does show the effects of a good body surf as well, you know, tumbling around in the waves.
Body surfing is highly recommended, as long as the water's not too shallow.
Yeah, no, but just limitless saline there. Wonderful stuff. Appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Barbalat. Nice to speak to you, my friend.
My pleasure. All the very best.
Thank you for that. Thanks, Dr. Sam Barbalat, the founder of ENT Technologies. All right, let's take a little break. We've got a stack of your calls lined up. You're being very patient. We'll come to you right after this here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Nice to have your company. 131873 is our number here across Australia. Gerald is here for a free consult. Anything bothering you, niggling, aches and pains, he is your man. Just a phone call away. Angie's in lovely Mount Martha in Victoria this morning. How can we help you out?
Oh, it is beautiful today. I wanted to find out, I'm 50 years of age, and I don't know whether it's menopausal or it's stinking damn hot, but middle of the night, I'm waking up with these shocking sweats, but I've still been getting my period. But will that subside? Will that go away, or could I have it for another 10 years? Because I'm just getting cold sweats.
Of course, and we call this perimenopause. So this is the time of your life where menopause hasn't really set in. There's a couple of things you can do. There are herbal hormone balances, and the one of choice is called Black Cohosh, Angie, which you can get from your local pharmacist. The brands that are, there are some outstandingly researched brands that, one comes from Germany, one comes from Switzerland. And it, as I said, it's a balancer of hormones. So you can take that just usually once each day, depending on the brand. The other important thing is to put into place some B group vitamins to take in the morning to help you across the day, bearing in mind you probably haven't had all that much comfortable and restful sleep, and you take another one late afternoon to get you through that that late afternoon, early evening time where everything is happening around dinner and family and the work. So you actually double up on the B group, and you will see an improvement, Angie, improvement in sleep, an improvement in ability to cope. And don't hesitate to let me know by email through houseofwellness.com.au how you're getting on.
All right, thanks so much.
Good luck, Angie.
Good on you. Thanks, Angie.
Yeah, thanks for your call. Lillian, to you now in Brisbane. Good morning.
Hi, Lillian.
Good morning. How are you?
We're all well, thanks. How can we help?
Great. Well, among all the other medical problems, I now have been diagnosed last few days with something I haven't heard. It's osteopenia.
osteopenia, which just
it is.
Lillian, just means your bones are starting to get a little thinner, which happens to all of us as we get a little older.
Yeah,
I'm a little older than my two cohorts here, so yes. Thank you, Ed. Look, it's important, Lillian, then, to reassess what you do as far as the health of your bones is concerned. So, high calcium foods, fish with soft bones, regular dairy, almonds, green leafy vegetables, especially broccoli. Go for a walk every day. Make sure you go out in the sun at a time which is safe, or you can take a vitamin D supplement as well. And sometimes a calcium supplement is needed, Lillian, but you get some advice based on that diagnosis as to whether that's important. Dietary calcium's best. I've given you that list. They've got to be a major part of your food intake and your food options across the day. And maybe you go and get Sally's book on smoothies and look at high calcium foods there and have one of those a day. There's all sorts of options.
Great,
it's got to be
Jill.
Fun.
And one more thing too. My carer, home carer, that comes here once a week to help me around as I'm visually impaired as well. She suggested, because of my bone pains that I have, that I should get... She comes from Ireland, Fiji, and apparently down there they use coconut to rub on their body, and it helps with pain. Do you know anything about this?
Well, look, massage any time helps with pain, Lillian. Massage has been shown to have anti-inflammatory effects. And we are surrounded by coconut oil this morning. And Sally does not have an ache or pain in her body because she's been applying coconut oil. If your carer can apply that to any joints or areas that are a little painful, go for it. Okay?
Okay, so it would be beneficial.
Yes, it would be. Yes. Thanks, Lily.
I feel like I'm working next to just a delicious pina colada. It's quite off-putting, but I do love it. 131873 is our number. One of our callers also going to pocket a $100 shopping voucher to go and spend on anything they like at Chemist Warehouse as well. Jocelyn, you've been so patient. We come to you in Strathpine. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure, Jocelyn.
Yes. I had a tick embedded under my armpit for 6 weeks. I went to see my doctor 3 times and then went up to the hospital, saw 2 doctors there, and nobody diagnosed that I had a tick.
So they found the tick, did they, Jocelyn? That was
no,
the important thing.
It was my daughter-in-law came around. I said, I'm going to see you about this mole under my arm. She took one look and said, that's the tick. And it's been there, we estimate, 6 weeks. I went back to the hospital. They removed it and sent me home again. And I am so unwell with it.
Jocelyn, I'm not surprised, because ticks are bad stuff. Ticks inject all sorts of things into your body. And if you don't feel well, even though that tick has been removed, please go back. Go back to the hospital or your GP. Explain the whole story again. And don't get annoyed, even though there was a delay of 6 weeks. The fact is, we've got to make sure that if there are any underlying infections in your body, they need to be found and fixed as soon as possible. So please do that today or tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck, Jocelyn.
Don't dismiss it as just something that's going to be, it'll get better on its own accord. Go and get it all checked out.
Yeah, fantastic. We wish you all the best. Okay, we'll take a little break. Going to chat aspirin in just a sec as well. Gerald, you want to highlight that this morning? Deal with more of your calls as well. 131-873, and Sally's going to dish up something delicious. It'll smell like coconut no matter what it is, but it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be yum.
Hey, we spoke about calcium too, with that depleting in our bone storage. At some point, is it worthwhile getting a kind of a calcium score? Is that a worthwhile check?
It's a little
checker?
Different. Yeah, a coronary artery calcium score, it is a cardiovascular risk factor. You don't need a referral to get that. You can just go off and get that if you're concerned about your cardiovascular health. And that's fine. That report is sent back to your GP. Some people, some experts dismiss it as incidental. I think it's important. Dr. Walker feels it's important, because the earlier we can diagnose issues that aren't quite correct, the better in the long term. So that call is yours.
Is there an age at which you should do that, Doc?
Oh, not really, Sally. Look, cardiovascular risk factors, as we know, there are young people with risk factors and old people. Look, I think when the time in your life comes when you take a bit of an assessment and you think, maybe I just should have a checkup, a grease and oil change essentially for your body, then a coronary artery calcium score test is probably worthwhile.
All righty. The best website for further info, of course, is ours, houseofwellness.com.au. We're here to help you get well and stay well and live well and look fabulous. We're back with more in just a sec.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Sally Obermater is with us, along with Gerald Quigley. We're here to chat aspirin in just a sec, but also answer your calls and queries. 131 873 is our number. Sally, we come to you waiting patiently in Heidelberg. Good morning.
Good morning. Look, I'm 90, over 90, but I've got a pain in my hip, and while I'm sitting on the chair, I'm okay. But the minute I get up to walk, it goes down to my knee. And, I mean, during the night, I couldn't even turn over in the bed. It didn't matter how I laid in bed. I haven't slept all night, but the pain had hurt.
Oh, you poor thing. Sally, what does your doctor say?
Well, I haven't been to the doctor this week.
Okay. It sounds like you've got some sciatic pain, particularly if the pain's moved from your lower back down into your back of your knees. So,
yeah, well, that's what it's done. I mean, I'm all right while I'm sitting on the chair.
Yes,
but
yes, but when you lie down,
I feel as if I'm going to fall over.
Then please make an appointment to see your doctor tomorrow. At your lovely age of 90 plus, there are a number of options that you've got, very gentle options. One thing you could start doing, Sally, is to actually start using some turmeric. So speak to your pharmacist about turmeric, but you're going to have to let the doctor check that your back and your spine are okay, because there's an issue there. It needs to be just investigated a little further. Okay. Mm.
Right.
Thank you, Sally.
I feel a fraud going down,
you're not. No, hang on. No, but you've been awake all night.
Yeah, tonight, last night,
and
yes.
If I was awake all night, I'd be cranky. I think you sound pretty relaxed about
that. I feel better sitting in the chair than what I do laying on the bed.
Okay, and Sally, you just go along tomorrow. All you're doing is trying to seek some quality of life, so go along and explain the facts, maybe make a few notes today, take them along to the doctor tomorrow.
It's all about pain management, isn't it, Gerald?
Yes, it is.
Look, I think if we looked in any medicine cabinet across the country, someone will have aspirin, everyone will have aspirin. It is available, you know, for the population, but maybe we're not all using it the correct way, right?
It's been around a long time. 1853 it was first discovered, and I found a stat the other day. 120 billion aspirin tablets are taken across a year, making it the first of the three most used drugs in the world. But a couple of issues. I find it fascinating that countries differ in their opinions. In the US, for example, the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, they don't recommend taking aspirin regularly to prevent a heart attack. If you've had a heart issue, aspirin is sometimes used. And interestingly, the Australian authorities say that the low-dose aspirin, which I really want to talk about today, is for the treatment of people with known cardiovascular or cerebrovascular disease as an antiplatelet agent. My challenge then is, if you've just suddenly decided to take aspirin of your own accord, I think you need to reassess that. There's not a lot of evidence to say that if you haven't had an issue, that aspirin's going to prevent it. So discuss aspirin with your doctor. There's a vast array of adverse effects of aspirin. It's corrosive to the tummy, can interfere with kidneys, can interfere with livers, can cause tinnitus and hearing loss. There's issues that maybe you can protect yourself from if you have a chat to your doctor first.
That's interesting, Joe, because I was always under the impression that aspirin was a great blood thinner, and it was a really almost like a, I don't want to say healthier, I'm not naive enough to think it was healthy, but certainly a great preventative thing to do. But you're saying no.
Well, that's what the experts across the world are saying, that maybe we treat, that's different. But as a preventer, it doesn't seem to have a particularly strong record. And certainly both authorities in both the US and Australia say treatment. They don't actually mention prevention.
Well, let's grab this timely call from Jackie, who's in Sunbury, Victoria. Morning, Jackie.
Hello, Jackie.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
What happened with you and aspirin,
Jackie?
I had a strange experience with aspirin. First, I had a SCAD type heart attack and was prescribed a low dose aspirin. Within a month, I had a stomach bleed. Bled for 3 days. It was a bleeding ulcer, and they said it was caused by the low dose aspirin.
Yes.
A month later, I had a follow-up biopsy with the camera down into the stomach and just a routine, and they took a biopsy. And a few weeks after that, they said they'd found cancer in that spot in the wall of my stomach. Not long after that, I had an operation, had most of my stomach removed. Within 10 days of that operation, it went to pathology. And the pathology said there was a really aggressive cancer there that just hadn't spread yet. But we've cut, you know, most of your stomach out, so it's gone. I didn't go through radiotherapy or chemotherapy or any of those
things. You're better now, though, Jackie.
I'm fine now. Everything's fine.
But obviously, you can't take aspirin again. And because it's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, you can't take a lot of those drugs ever again either. Is that true?
Yeah.
So things like ibuprofen and diclofenac, you've got to avoid.
They advised me not to take that anymore.
I think that's good advice.
And they've taken me off the aspirin now. The heart.
Good. Thank goodness. Yes. Thank goodness. So there wasn't a direct association. Was it coincidental, do you think, that the aspirin caused the ulcer?
It just all happened in a period of 4 months.
I know. And look, and it doesn't. The fact is it was discovered, fixed, now you've got your quality of life back. But it does again highlight that even the low-dose aspirin does come with risks. There is actually a brand which has got an enteric coating around the outside which gives a little further protection. So if you are taking low-dose aspirin, anybody, get the one with the coating around the side. It's probably better and safer in the long run. But Jackie, well, look, thank you for the call. And really it highlights what I mentioned, that with everything there's a risk and a benefit profile. And even though there are often heaps of benefits, often risks can slip under the radar, and it looks like this one did for you. So
a quick one, Gerald. I mean, aspirin's like phone plans. There's so many out there, and you get a bit confused. You say a low dose. Do we need to check the
100 milligram. Yes, it's 100. Well, the common aspirin that's always been available that we've grown up with is a 300 milligram, Ed. Mm-hmm. But that has issues. That's got to be taken with food, and there is the risk I've mentioned before, kidney failure, liver failure, stomach ulcers, and tinnitus. They're common adverse effects. But the low-dose one is a third of that dose, and that's given where someone has had some sort of cardiovascular event, and it's one of the options considered to delay blood clotting, so to ensure efficient circulation.
All righty. I think it's time to give our tummies some love. We're going to fill it with your delicious...
It's a quinoa brekkie bowl.
Oh, stop it.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm sure it's covered in berries and other beautifulness.
Yum.
Let's do that. I've delayed breakfast for this very moment, Sal. We're coming back with that next on the House of Wellness.
This is the House of Wellness, thanks to Wagner Vitamins, committed to quality and available exclusively from Chemist Warehouse.
It's a Sunday morning checkup right around the country through 2GB, 3AW, Brisbane's 4BC, 5AA in Adelaide and 6PR. We've had Kathy standing by in Footscray as well, Gerald, saying she has some medication that's been also leading to nosebleeds. It contains some aspirin. Any word of advice as well?
Again, as we've been talking and chatting, aspirin does tend to delay blood clotting. So it means if you've got a sensitive nose, and if you're a hay fever sufferer or you've had a nasal injury years ago, you've got little surface capillaries near the top, near the outside of your nose, and they become fragile. So aspirin, therefore, increases that risk. So it's a matter of just being very careful, and then everything comes under control.
Right.
And by using, as we spoke to Sam before, by irrigating gently with isotonic saline without a preservative, it will nurture those delicate tissues.
And people can email the questions to you via houseofwellness.com.au.
Of course.
Sally, breakfast, most important meal of the day, they say.
Breakfast like a king, isn't that the rule, right?
Yes.
So this is a quinoa brekkie bowl. Now, quinoa, if you're not familiar with it, is a grain. But it is a very high protein grain. So it's very, it's quite rare. It's full of fiber. It's low GI. It's got very high in magnesium. And for people who want to be gluten-free, this is gluten-free. So it kind of ticks a lot of boxes, and it's easy to do. I think it's one of those things you sort of think, oh, this is a bit tricky. It's a bit of a hipster meal, probably best left for a cafe. But I'll show you a way to make it into a beautiful, almost like a porridge that is very delicious. So what you do is you get the quinoa, give it a good rinse till it runs clear, and then you pop it in a saucepan with some water, a little bit of coconut milk, some chopped dates, and bring it to the boil. So what will happen is the quinoa is going to absorb all that beautiful coconut milk. It'll absorb the sweetness of the dates. Let it kind of simmer for, bring it to the boil, let it simmer for about 20 minutes. Kind of keep stirring it so that the quinoa doesn't stick to the saucepan. And then once it sort of softens, you're going to add some spices, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg. So those spices absorb in. Then you'll add some sunflower seeds, because I'm big on seeds and nuts. It's good. It's got a lot of the sort of healthy oils.
Yeah.
And some coconut flakes. give it another 5 minutes and serve it topped with like fresh berries or raspberries, blueberries, more coconut, a little drizzle of maybe yogurt, honey, and there you have it. It is.
How many pots?
One pot. I'm back to my one. Right. 2018, it's good. A one-pot wonder.
Lovely.
So it's going to be a little warm delight?
It's a warm delight. Yeah, okay. And it's one of those things you could make in advance. You could make a bigger batch and then just each morning you think, great, I don't have to worry about what I'm having for breakfast. Mm-hmm. I can just get up, give it a little heat in the microwave, add a little bit more honey on it, and off you go.
Yeah, so it's one pot, but one big pot.
One big pot. Yeah. Enough for everyone.
Perfect. Gotcha. All righty. GQ, we need a caller to receive the $100 Chemist Warehouse gift voucher today.
The winner, Ed and Sally, this morning is Jocelyn from Strathpine, who had that tick issue. A little warning there for if you think you've been bitten by something, if something doesn't make sense, go and have it checked out. Very, very important. So, Jocelyn, you are the winner of our $100 gift voucher.
Very good lesson today. Sally, people want to find your delicious recipes. Simple and Lean is your beautiful latest cookbook.
It is. It is. It's out now. So you can find it everywhere. And it's exactly that. It's lean, easy dishes, stuff you've got in your pantry and your fridge that makes it easy to cook well and feel well.
And I bet we've pilfered that one and put it on houseofwellness.com.au, haven't we?
You bet
we?
It's absolutely up there.
You're right. Okay. Thanks, you guys. Have a fabulous Sunday. Super hot temperature through Vic and SA continuing. Be safe. We'll see you next Sunday for more here on the House of Wellness.